This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, executive director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, so is Dave Buhner. And we broadcast from the eastern plains of Colorado, a couple of homeschool dads, five children each, and we care about our kids and the world in which we're raising them, the brave new world that began in 1765 when Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote his book on K-12 education. That's right, my friends, the beginning of K-12 education didn't exist prior to 1765. The beginning of K-12 education, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the book was a meal. And Rousseau wanted a system of public instruction by the state, according to Will Durant, the great historian. He prescribed many years with an unmarried tutor who would withdraw the child as much as possible from parents and relatives. Get those kids out of the home and get them back into the state system. That was Rousseau's plan. Of course, 20 years before he wrote the book, he abandoned his first child on the steps of an orphanage. Yeah, on its birthday, he forgot to check its gender. He had no idea whether he had boys or girls. He had five children he abandoned on the steps of orphanages. And, by the way, is at a time when two-thirds of the children abandoned on the steps of orphanages died in their first year, so pretty much sentenced his children to death. But this man was the expert. Trust us, my friends. Rousseau was the expert, and he said you got to give them over to the experts and the professionals. Get them away from parents and adult relatives as soon as possible. And, may I say, Rousseau's orphanage has grown. Yes, Rousseau's orphanage has grown. You got to get those kids away from the parents. The compulsory attendance laws have been enforced since the 1830s, and now even more in Colorado last 2 years, we've expanded the compulsory attendance law to even more restrictions, and government-funded kindergartens coming. No, make that government-funded preschool. No, make that government-funded daycare. You know, all that's coming. We've encouraged and encouraged and encouraged parents to withdraw those children away from themselves as early as possible. That was Rousseau's agenda, and that agenda continues to march through the brave modern world. Rousseau's orphanage now grows and grows. Now 64% of 2 to 3 year old kids are latchkey. Yeah, they're in daycares and preschools and kindergartens all over America, all over the world. The family relationships have virtually disappeared, and we live in a world void of relationships thanks to men like Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Well, anyway, that's when the modern world began, and that's how we got the world today. That is largely a world that is given to the vagabond, lost and lonely. And that's why there is a voice crying in the wilderness from this radio station. And all we're saying is let's get a little bit more truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world destroyed by the modern humanists. Like Jean-Jacques Rousseau believed in the growth of the state and the demise of the nuclear family. And by the way, nuclear family now makes up a minority of American households as of 2006. So the Rousseauian agenda marches on. And, by the way, daycare is all over the place. As I said, 64% of kids now in daycare. But another study on how bad daycare is in the major press. This particular study said that children in daycare become more antisocial. Wait a minute. I thought that if you put your children in these institutions early on, kept them in institutions for 18 years, Dave, you would have well-socialized children. Now they're saying it's just the opposite. The study found that the more time, over 10 hours a week, children spend in daycare, the more likely they are to be difficult once they start school. More likely to get in fights, be disobedient, and to argue a lot. The study was led by Professor Michael Lamb of Cambridge University and somebody else from Berlin. Monitored 36 girls and 34 boys aged between 11 and 20 months. The children had all been cared for mainly at home, were then placed in nurseries for 40 hours a week. Oh, it's a perfect experiment, Dave. Isn't this a brave new world? We experiment with them now. And then we look at them after we've put them in, we've doused them into the institutional vats for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and then we test them out after that. Well, their stress levels were much, much higher for those kids who had been in daycare. Ladies and gentlemen, daycare, bad for kids, but of course that doesn't bother most parents today, Dave. I'm not sure this show is going to have any impact whatsoever on your average parent because, you know, they were raised in a lost and lonely world themselves. I mean, think about the television programs back in the 1950s and 1960s. You had Howdy Doody. Didn't it take place in a family? Family was a non-issue in Howdy Doody. Think about how the television programs us prepare children for a lifestyle away from the nuclear family. Sesame Street, where's the family here? Aren't we all members of Hillary's village in Sesame Street? We don't find families living together in Sesame Street. You find everybody together in the village. Romper Room. Romper Room is the school, Marm, and the kids. There's no mother, no father involved. Not here. Why? Because we're trying to prepare 2 and 3 year old children to be weaned from the family relationship. You want them getting ready for the institutionalization which makes up life in the modern world. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? No father, no mother here. Who is Mr. Rogers? What in the world is this guy? Does he have kids? Is he a grandfather? I'm not sure. Barney and Friends. Does Barney have brothers and sisters? I don't think so. Folks, the family, a non-issue in these children's programs. What's the message? The fundamental social unit is the community, not the family. This message has been shoved down our throats for 3, 4, 5 generations, my friends. Even those 1950s readers, remember Dick and Jane, Alice and Jerry, those readers? Think about all the titles, Friends and Neighbors, More Friends and Neighbors, Friendly Village, Neighbors on the Hill, Our New Friends. What is this all about? The basic social unit, my friends, is not the family. It's the neighborhood. It's Hillary's village. It's the community. It's the socialist state. This is the worldview that we have been raised in for years and years. By the way, even in some of these early Dick and Jane, when they had a Christmas tree and a Christmas celebration, Dave, it didn't happen in the home. They put the Christmas tree in the middle of the street, and the neighbors gathered together to celebrate Christmas together. The family was a non-issue, and this, my friends, is the Rousseauian agenda that began in the 1760s when a man abandoned his 5 children on the steps of an orphanage and said the family is a non-issue. What matters from here on out is the individual and the individual plugged into the state. One relationship is the only important relationship in the modern world. It's your relationship with the community, not your relationship with the God-ordained sphere of family and church. So what do we get? What do we get after all the friends and neighbors, friendly villages, Romper Room, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Sesame Street, Howdy Doody and Barney and Friends? What do we get? We get a world without relationships. What we get is the anonymity of the city, short-term, transient relationships. Family hardly exists anymore. The nuclear family makes a minority of the households in America, and the American family is the weakest in the Western world. 37% of children born without fathers and half of marriages ending in divorce. This is exactly what we were trained to produce back in the 1940s, 1950s, and 1960s. Children are now raised in segregated classrooms, all the way down to kindergarten and preschool. We've got entertainment that, for the most part, is not interactive with other family members. Dave, think about it. For thousands of years, families would be integrated in church, in entertainment, in classrooms. I mean, when they hardly be in classrooms, for the most part, it was homeschooled. But they would sit around the fireplace for 3, 4 hours every evening, integrated. Today, that doesn't happen. Everybody gets their own stereo. Everybody gets their own television set. They even watch their own television programs in the car.
Yes, they do. The other day I saw a pickup truck, and in the back seat, the boy was playing a video game with an LCD screen hanging in a pickup truck.
Yeah. Non-interactive forms of entertainment have displaced what used to be family entertainment. My friends, you live in a lost and lonely world. I don't know if you realize this, but you do. It may not have occurred to you because you've grown up in that world, but I'm just telling you right now, you are lost and lonely. If you have gone to American public schools in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s, you are lonely. You do not know what relationships are all about. Well, that's what our program is all about, bringing truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. Dave, some people think we're radical on this program. They think we are just diehard radicals. They can't believe what we're saying. We're trying to reverse 250 years of Rousseauian ideas in institutions in which we've been raised. And I'm going to talk about why this program is so cotton-picking radical and why the devil can't stand what we're doing on this show in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this Family Conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio. Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org. Alternate beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the 2007 Christian Family Conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here with you today talking about relationships and the huge social transitions we've had since 1960 when 6% of children were born without fathers, now 37%. The family is fragmented. The family has come apart since the 1950s and 1960s. Why? How do we get from father knows best to you don't even know who your father is? You know, Dave, this is a progressive move from Ozzie and Harriet, a family that is pretty nuclear, pretty together, and fairly satisfied and content with their family life. Then you get I Love Lucy, and she's somewhat dissatisfied. She doesn't really like being in the home. She doesn't like the home. And then you finally get Desperate Housewives over the last couple years. Think about it. You go from contentment to dissatisfied Lucy to Desperate Housewives. Now the home hardly counts for anything in the modern world.
I think the home has moved, at least in entertainment, from the place where one feels safe and secure, from which they go out and make their living, from which they go out and impact the world, to a place that's to be avoided, a place of pain. You now have men who don't return home because it is difficult, because they don't want to face the conflict. You have women who are desperate. They're desperate because whatever it is they were seeking, they're not finding.
Ladies and gentlemen, the demise of the modern family and why the devil doesn't like our program. You know what? We're doing this program. We're getting back to fundamentals. We're getting back to the basics. We're not just wanting to clean some carpet here. We're wanting to dig out the foundations of our social institutions. We want to jackhammer out these foundations and lay brand new concrete. We're talking about new foundations, not just carpet cleaning here. And here's the number one reason why the devil cannot stand this program. It's because I think we're trying to give fathers vision out there. And Dave, if a father can get some vision, then what happens is you begin to rebuild the family as a family, and you begin to establish generational vision. You begin to get children raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You begin to get some generational continuity, the growth of culture as children stand on the shoulders of their fathers because their fathers had some vision, and then the children took that vision and multiplied it and tripled it, and eventually you're going to wind up seeing some significant results. Why? Just because a father got some vision. And when that happens, I think entire societies are turned around, Dave. When a father is willing to get out in front of their family and say, you know what, I got to lead you guys to God. And he's opening up the Word of God. He's sharing God's Word every day as he sits in the house, as he walks by the way, as he rises up, as he lies down. If those fathers will share those things, you know what, that will undermine tyranny. I mean, you won't have civil tyranny growing. The reason why government has grown so much in America over the last 70 to 80 years is because fathers are no longer the leaders. And when fathers aren't the leaders, and when you don't, you know, disseminate the leadership to fathers, to millions of fathers across America, all that power will centralize in Washington, and that's precisely what's happened. Folks, there is nothing that will undermine tyranny, ecclesiastical or civil, more than fathers. They're going to crack the Word of God and share that vision with their families. And by the way, this is one reason why Mexico and South America is almost entirely dominated by tyrannies or dictatorships, because homes are matriarchal there. There are no fathers. Fathers aren't leading. You don't have fathers leading family worship every day in Mexico and millions upon millions of homes down there. And the end result is their civil and ecclesiastical structures are patriarchal dictatorships. That's what happens.
Yeah, you're going to have dictatorships. You're going to have powerful dictatorships on a social level when fathers refuse to be fathers. If fathers would just get a little vision from God's Word and have a little family worship each day, applying God's Word to their children, to their families, I think we would see families with vision develop, and tyranny would be averted in America and I think everywhere else in the world. Dave, I don't think the devil likes fatherhood. I think he's much more drawn to the tyranny of dictatorships and the miserable dictatorships you find in South America and Africa and elsewhere. And, of course, the miserable dictatorship that we're getting here as government continues to centralize and grow.
And I think you're exactly correct that when there is conflict within the home, when there is a fighting for power, particularly amongst a husband and a wife, a father and a mother, then what must happen is a fragmentation of the family. The Civil War in the 1860s is nothing compared to the familial wars that have been fought since 1950 or so. When the woman and the man are competing for the control, for the power, for the authority in the family, what happens? Well, 50% of marriages end in divorce because there must be a divide. Or some men turn into very weak, easily steamrolled kind of men by the powerful women who are fighting for power, and manhood and fatherhood is utterly destroyed. The father is no longer present, or if he is present, he's not leading.
And you get a world where 37% of children are born without fathers, and that's just a drop in the bucket. The bottom line here, folks, is most children lack any real meaningful relationship with their fathers. And rarely do you have fathers actually doing Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, sitting down and just sharing God's Word as God commands them to do in His Word each day with their families. And here's another thing, Dave. You know, we're talking about foundational change. You want to fight tyranny? Then you begin to get fathers doing family worship every day in millions upon millions of households. What about homosexuality? Now, we're not just dealing with homosexuality on this program. We're going to deal with the root issues. That's not the root issue. The root issues is fathers have lousy relationships with their sons all over America. And we're going to lose the homosexual marriage battle, guaranteed, unless something happens with fatherhood. You know what? This is the biggest no-brainer about homosexuality. A psychiatrist has said it. Here's Dr. Joseph Nicholas Losai from James Dobson's book, Bringing Up Boys. He says, in 15 years, I've spoken with literally hundreds of homosexual men. I've never met one who said he had a loving, respectful relationship with his father. Yeah, that's the problem. We don't have loving, respectful relationships with fathers in America, not just with homosexual boys, but with everybody, with just practically everybody. It's rare to find those kind of relationships. And 1960, 5% of children born without fathers. Hey, in 2007, it's 37-38%. Our problem with the homosexual issue is just going to grow by a factor of 7 or 8 times in the next decade or two. And why? Because there are way too many fathers who'd rather do their golf game on Saturday than give their heart to the little boy and spend some time with the little boy. The problem, Dave, is that not just with the fact that we don't have enough yard signs, we don't have enough money pouring into these pro-family coffers for elections and referendums. The problem, Dave, is that we don't have enough fathers who are willing to take time to disciple their little boys on Saturday morning instead of foregoing their golf game.
Well, I mean, starting with the motif that you started the program here, looking at the sociology of society through the lens of the Hollywood sitcoms, something that was always missing was a father leading his family in prayer, leading his family to church. How often, if ever, even in the 50s sitcoms, did you see a family preparing for church? Now, there was perhaps one exception, and that was the Happy Days show, which modeled a 1950s family. The father and mother were both present, and they had a prayer. I think it was in the opening of the program, but it was obvious that nobody was really praying. They were just doing as rote. And as soon as the amen was said, there was a free-for-all to grab the food. But that was as close as we got to any kind of spiritual leadership in the home by a father. And so I think what we have here is a crumbling of the foundations. We could look at the relationship of the father to the children. We could look at the relationship of the wife to her husband, of the children honoring their parents. All of those foundations have been eroded away. And yet I think it's up to the fathers to rebuild it, because the fathers are the leaders.
There are a lot of programs out there that are going to talk about homosexuality. But we're not going to just talk about homosexuality. We're going to talk about the problem that produces homosexuality, and that's a lack of fathers discipling their sons as they sit in the house, as they walk, by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. And by the way, Dave, let's throw in the abortion issue here. We're not just dealing with abortion. Occasionally, I think, well, we've done 2-3 programs on abortion over the last 3 years. Well, abortion is not the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is parents don't love their kids very much. Duh. People who don't love their children will kill their children in the womb. That's a big duh. But the problem is, we're not just pointing our finger at a few people who have abortions. Yeah, that's a problem when you don't love your children enough to get them safely through the birth canal. But we're pointing our finger at everybody. A nation where the birth rate falls from 4.0 to 2.0, while the square footage of homes are doubling in size, I'd say that's indicative of a nation that hates kids. And here's George Barna on Christian parenting. Only 3 out of 10 born-again parents included the salvation of their children in a list of critical parental emphases. They don't even care if their kids get saved. 3 out of 10 born-again parents says, oh yeah, the salvation of my kid, that's the thing that I think is important. Almost double the percentage of parents ranked a good education as a more desired goal for their children than having a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. And Dave, that may be because they don't love Jesus Christ with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, we're talking about something even more fundamental than abortion. The problem is people aren't loving God very much. That's our beef. People don't love God very much because if they did, they'd love their kids enough to disciple their kids to the God that they love. And we don't see that kind of thing happening. And so what we're doing on this program, folks, is we're getting down to the brass tacks, the basic issues. We're not seeing enough parents loving their kids and loving God, and we would like to see that happen on this program.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, is the biggest problem facing us, facing America, isn't high taxes, isn't immigration, isn't terrorism, isn't abortion. What the biggest problem facing America is, we don't love God.
That's the problem. You nailed it. And that, my friends, is what we're after, because we think if people loved God, they would, according to Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7, it says there, love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and teach your children God's word as you walk by the ways, you rise up as you lie down. We believe that if you will love God, you will teach your children. You will disciple them in God's word every day as you sit in your house. We're talking about fundamental issues on this program, folks. We're talking about entire institutions. Please understand, folks, yeah, we've got a problem with 95% of Americans who get married confess to premarital fornication, and 37% of children born without fathers, half of marriages end in divorce. But if we're going to reverse these statistics, you're going to have to rebuild the foundations. We can't just clean the carpets. You've got to rebuild the foundations. You've got to get serious and deal with institutional levels. We're not going to just talk about dads getting rid of porn problems, adultery issues, etc. We're going to talk about real accountability. In a real church relationship, not in some anonymous city life. We're not just talking about ways in which your daughter can be pure in a dating relationship. We're talking about the broader issues of whether a father really has a passion for the kingdom of God, whether the father is willing to put thousands of hours into finding the right husband for his daughter, and whether the families as a community are really going to integrate into an entire courtship process. We're not just talking about, how to find the best daycare centers in Denver on this program. We're talking about getting rid of daycare. We're talking about getting rid of kid processing centers. We're not talking about just finding the best Latin teachers for your children on this program. We're talking about an education that ought to be redefined as discipleship. It's more about faith and character and the fear of God and the principle of individuality and the principle of relationships than it is about teaching your children how to parse Latin verbs. And we're not going to give you just 10 ways to spank your kids on this show. We're going to talk about giving your children an entire education in the fear of God. We want to get down to basic issues here. We're not just telling you how to say, I love you, to your kids. We're telling you how to love your kids by feeding those lambs each day in God's word. We're not telling you to spend more quality time with your kids. We're telling you how to spend 8 to 10 hours a day with your children in a reintegrated family economic system. We're not just talking about how your kids can learn math and make $120,000 a year. We're talking about how your children ought to throw their lives away for Jesus Christ and bring His law to bear in every area of life and serve as real servants the Church of Jesus Christ. We're talking about basic issues, foundational issues on this program. That's what we're all about, and that, my friends, is why the devil can't stand what we do on this show every day. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and we're here to give you a vision. That's right, my friends. Join us again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.